Good morning. It's 9:03. Wednesday, October 10th, 2012. I will call the Dallas City Council agenda meeting to order. Good morning, all. And good morning. We have some special guests here from St. Philip's Elementary School, one of the great schools in the city of Dallas. And so what I would like to do is have Ms. Sheila Pate, who's a second grade math and science teacher at St. Philip's, come to the podium, and she's going to lead us in our invocation, and then these children are going to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, if you don't mind. So please stand. Thank you, Ms. Pate.
You're welcome. Good morning. Would you please bow? Our gracious God and our Father, we come to you this morning just thanking you for another day. Lord, we ask you to just bless the children that are in front of us. We ask you to pray for the city of Dallas, and ask you to pray for our Mayor Holland and all the city council members that they continue to do the job that's put up in front of them. We ask you to bless the city of Dallas and bless this meeting. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Go ahead. Very well done. Miss Davis. This is your district and this fine school.
Thank you. Before the kids leave, I would like to take some pictures with them. And then we have some goodie bags for them as well. And we have some teacher goodie bags. Inside the teacher's goodie bag, we have Dusty the Dumpster coloring book, and we have the Firefighter's coloring book. And what I would like for you guys to do is to use that as an educational material to talk about trash attacks, keeping our city clean, and fire safety. And this is for the teachers. Okay, so. Yes, please.
Can we hand those out? Let's take the picture first before the old kids walk away. They got a camera right up here. All right, let's forget the. Thank you, Ms. Faith. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for being so well-behaved, students. Very good. So we've, Ms. Davis, anything else? Okay, thank you very much. And we will now move to our open microphone speakers this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We do have one speaker this morning. That is Cedric Moses. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who become boisterous while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting shall be removed from the room if the Sergeant-at-Arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. You do have a total of 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record.
Good morning. My name is Cedric Moses.
Mr. Moses?
Yes, sir.
I hear you have a video.
Yes, sir.
All right. But you'll only get 3 minutes, including the video. Okay? So, no, we're not going to go beyond that. Right?
No worries.
Thank you very much. Please speak. Thank you.
Good morning, Council Member and Mr. Mayor. My name is Cedric Moses. I am the President and CEO of Pooh Prince, Texas. We are a pet DNA analysis. We basically match the mess with the pet. And today I wanted to actually meet with the council members to give you some information about our services. I want to play this video, and in this video, you'll be able to assess and see how you can actually collect on your ordinance, which is actually ordinance number section 7-4.8, and you can actually regulate the renewal of the pet fees, generate revenue from those pet fees, and be able to prosecute the violators who are not picking it behind their pet. So if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to see you.
Man's best friend may not always be the best tenant. People living with shared yards and property managers know all too well the dog waste problem our furry four-legged friends can leave behind. But beyond just creating a cleaner place to live, it also gives us a greener and healthier home by being sure the mess doesn't lay around. And keeping everything picked up picks up the environment and keeps out the bacteria that waste can carry out into drinking water. And now science brings a solution. Starting at just $29.95 per dog, Pooh Prince DNA testing gives apartments, condos, or homeowners associations an affordable way to use technology to track down residents who do not do what they should, leaving their grounds cleaner than ever. Here's how it works. Pooh Prince, patented technology by BioPet Vet Lab, matches the DNA in uncollected dog waste to the correct canine. It all starts with a simple cheek swab that collects each dog's unique DNA. Then the pup receives a tag with its registration number. And the DNA profile for every dog tested goes into the BioPet World Pet Registry. Now, when grounds crews, property managers, pet committee members, or even Pooh Prince staff see a pile of poo, they just take a sample of the woeful waste. It's then sent to BioPet Vet Lab, where scientists make the match. The property manager receives a notification with the ID of the pup. Then they can find the two-legged owner for the foul mess from their four-legged friend. The best news, statistics from Pooh Prince properties around the world show that dog owners rarely, if ever, reoffend. Testing also helps the bottom line, freeing up time for maintenance staff to do what they're best at. Properties can include the initial charge as part of a pet rent or a pet deposit, or just bill tenants for the testing costs and then fine those who don't cooperate. Our technology makes the area more appealing for potential tenants with or without pets. Pooh Prince provides the perfect solution for apartment managers and homeowners associations. Distributors around the globe and in communities of all sizes find getting the dog waste problem solved starts with Pooh Prince technology. With Pooh Prince DNA technology, you get a greener property and a cleaner future for man's best friend and all his neighbors.
Thank you. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me. My information is there.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. That does conclude your morning speaker. We're going to proceed now to your voting agenda. Item number one is approval of minutes of the September 26, 2012 City Council meeting.
Second.
Got a motion and second. Any edits, additions? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. We do have one individual signed up on multiple items. That is Trina Trish. She has signed up on agenda items number 9, 14 through 17, 21 and 24 and 25. Ms. Trish, if you'll please proceed to the podium, you will have 3 minutes to address the City Council. Please address your comments to Mayor Rawley.
Good morning, Mayor, City Council, and all who hear my voice. I'm going to address agenda number 9, which is an increase in funding for the contract for legal services. Again, I've been here asking, how many city attorneys do we have? What are we paying them for if on every agenda item we are paying for increased legal services? Something is wrong with the funding or with the attorneys who is supposed to be doing their job. That is not fiscally responsible. Items number 14, 15, 16, and 17 refer to the acceptance of the Dallas Police Department receiving funds to do their jobs. Kudos to the Dallas PD. They really do a great job. Police Chief Brown has asked for monies to hit 27 hotspots. I read in the newspaper where there was a business that gave them money so that they could take care of 2 of the hotspots in their area and maybe a church. What am I saying? I'm saying we don't always have to look for government. We can have businesses in some of these hotspots to donate money to the police department so that they can keep your community safe. A safe community is a healthy community, is a happy community, and we can all do it together. How about that? And finally, one more time, authorized increase in contracts. That's number 21, that's number 24, that's number 25, and this is for additional services. My question would be, who is the one who is deciding how much, what services are we contracting out? Who is the individual that's saying this is the job we need done so people can then bid on an entire job and we're not having all these increases? Because you see, if you have 3 parts of a job that needs to be done and you have somebody bidding on 2 parts of a job, then that might be why they're the low bidder. Then they're coming back at you for the 3rd part. No, if there's a 3rd part, let them bid again. But again, we need to get politics, favoritism, and all that out of the contract bidding and hire a group of individuals that are qualified to oversee the entire job that needs to be done so that when they bid on the job, they bid on the entire job and we are not continuously giving increases to our favorite supporters so they can continue to support us with the money that they make from the increases. I thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Rick.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, for your consent agenda consists of items number 2 through 25. However, agenda item number 12 has been pulled for individual consideration by Councilmember Grayson. Your addendum consent is items numbers 1 through number 6. However, addendum item number 1 was pulled by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins, and addendum item number 3 has been pulled by Councilmember Margolin. Therefore, for your consideration on the consent agenda, you have items number 2 through 11, 13 through 25, and addendum items numbers 2 and 4 through 6.
Do we have a motion?
Yes.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Kelly.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. If I could ask Tom Perkins to come to the microphone for just a quick second so I can get some clarification on just a few things. One, Mayor, let me say, as relates to item 11, 12, and 13, and that's park and recreation. One, let me applaud you for your magnificent appointment of President Max Wales. And let me also applaud Max Wales as being president and a committed president and a good leader for the Park and Recreation Board and the department. On his first meeting on Thursday, last Thursday, I believe, he did a tremendous job. He showed extreme leadership and poise as it relates to leading the Park and Recreation Board in the right direction. I'm waiting on Tom Perkins because I have some legal concerns that I'd like to address. And Willis, you may want to come up until, well, not Willis, but legal. Okay. Legal.
Okay.
And Warren Ernest, you can come up part while Tom is in route. I know where he is. He's trying to get some other information. Paul, you too. You can come up with him. It's fine. Come on. You good guy. You good guy. Let me just ask for clarity. We have first of all, give me the charter of the Dallas Park and Recreation. How does the Park Department and Park Board fall, and who are they responsible to? Are they autonomous from the city? I just need an explanation as to how that works. A clarity.
The charter creates the board, the administrative board that deals with contracts, the administration that are responsible for hiring and firing the administration, and basically then they report to you. You appoint them, as you know, and then they're responsible to you.
We appoint, and they are responsible to?
They're responsible to you. I mean, you appoint them, so they have responsibility to the council.
Okay, and just as 11, 12, and 13 appears today on our council agenda, when the park board makes a decision, is that the final decision, or does it have to come before the Dallas City Council for a stamp of approval?
Items on your agenda require your approval.
It requires our approval.
Yes, sir.
And that's where I wanted to make sure that I understood and that the public understood that the things that do occur at Park and Recreation, at the end of the day, it comes to us for final approval. Not necessarily the selection, because the park board, you are responsible to the park board. The park board hires Paul Dyer, am I correct?
Yes, sir.
And that does not have to come to us.
According to charter, yes, that's true.
It does not have to come to us.
That's true.
They can make that decision. But decisions that affect Park and Rec and the citizens of the city of Dallas ultimately is the responsibility of the Dallas City Council stamping approval on the decisions that are made. Am I correct?
Yes, policies are, they make their own policies.
Right.
They have, they can approve contracts less than a year.
Right.
Anything that's a contract that's over a year or that's over dollar amount, that it's your responsibility.
Right. And so if we have, Ms. Grayson has a concern or a question about item number 12, respectfully, and whatever that is, I don't know. But is she within her right to ask that question about number 12, the concerns that she has as a council?
Absolutely. Yes,
absolutely. Okay, and that's not interference, is it?
No, sir.
It's not, it should not be deemed as interference. We do have that right to inquire on behalf of the citizens.
It's on your agenda, so certainly it's yours.
Absolutely. Well, okay. And thank you, Paul. You all are doing a fantastic job. You've clarified what I needed to hear. One, Mayor, and not to dampen anything, and I'm going to leave it here, but while laying over at the doctor's office in the hospital, I read the fact that I interfered with a concern of Park and Rec, and as a park, as a council member, if any decision that affects this city of Dallas, I have the right to my opinion, but for someone to want to say and go to the newspaper and say that I'm interfering, I take it as a total, I resent it. That's number one. I wish that the person, that the council member that appointed this person that is outrageous at park board meetings were here so that I could address her, so she could, Ms. Hunt could address her appointee, to just have a little bit of respect for our council members in our position as we are able and should be able to take and address.
Okay.
And I'm not through, Mayor, because I want to make sure. Because in the public eye, I'm looking crazy to people that does not understand this process. And I am not afraid and will not be afraid and will not back up the fact that I have a right to my opinion and it should be adhered to. They don't have to agree with it, then I don't have to agree with theirs. But when a person wants to try to demean my character and go to the newspaper and go to the public and wants to try to show that I have interfered, I have the right as a council person to go set and do and say anything I want to say. He cannot. That little man cannot do that. He's done it before, and I want to publicly get back at him. So if he throws a rock, then know that I'm not going to avoid the fight. I'm going to demand the respect. And I want to make sure that folks understand that I have a responsibility to the people of this city to make sure that I interact and I express my opinion about whatever the heck I want to express it about.
Thank you, Mr. Carroway.
I'm not
through
with this either.
Thank you, Mr. Carroway.
I'm Wayne Smith.
Thank you. Okay, any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Next item.
We proceed now to agenda item number 12. It's authorized, number one, the acceptance of funds from the Dallas Foundation Dealey Plaza Restoration Project Fund in the amount of $672,362. Number two, the receipt and deposit of funds in the amount of $672,362 in the Dallas Foundation Fund. Number three, the establishment of appropriations in the Dallas Foundation Fund in the amount of $672,362. Number four, the return of any donor funds remaining at construction closeout to the Dallas Foundation Dealey Plaza Restoration Project Fund. And number five, a contract for phase two renovations to include architectural surfaces and finished restoration, landscape restorations, sidewalks, curbs, and accessibility improvements, and other miscellaneous items at Dealey Plaza located at 400 Main Street. Councilmember Grayson did pull the item, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. In a little over a year, the world is going to come to Dallas as we commemorate the 50th anniversary of the assassination of President Kennedy. This item here today that we're voting on is a wonderful public-private partnership that is going to make sure that Dealey Plaza looks as good as it possibly can as the world comes to Dallas. And whether the Mayor's Blue Ribbon Committee decides to hold the commemoration in Dealey Plaza or not, there will be many, many people who visit Dealey Plaza that day to be part of the ceremonies that the city will hold to commemorate that day. So I just want to say what a wonderful public-private partnership this is. Judith Segura has led the private fundraising effort and has done a wonderful job, and our park department is the public part of this effort, and I just want to commend all of them for undertaking this effort to make sure that Dealey Plaza does look its best when we have the public come. Thank you, Mayor.
So I'll take that as a motion to approve.
That is a motion to approve.
We had a motion to approve, and Mr. Carroway seconded. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We proceed now to addendum item number one, authorize an amendment to the mineral lease between the City of Dallas, the City of Fort Worth, the Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport Board, and Chesapeake Exploration, LLC. Councilmember Atkins, pull the item, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes, Mayor. You know, I just want to give kudos, you know, to our board, at DFW board, Mayor. I have a choice to stay in this matter here. And you look at your board pointing to the DFW board, sometimes that when we do point people to the DFW board, we got to make sure we have the right people there, Mayor. But also we got to have people there who do understand the law. And I just want to send kudos to Forrest Smith on the board. Forrest did a great job to bring this to the closure, to settle the agreement with Chesapeake. And I just want to make just put a kudos to Forrest Smith for the great job he did, Mayor. With that, I move it to approve.
Thank you. We have a motion approved. Second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
The next item is addendum item number three, an ordinance amending Chapter 28 of the Dallas City Code to provide regulations governing the operation of motor vehicles near vulnerable road users. Councilmember Margolin did pull the item.
Thank you. Ms. Margolin.
There we go. Thank you, Mayor.
Addendum item number 3 is an ordinance that would protect bicycle riders from auto drivers who endanger them, and theoretically I don't have a problem with this, but I do have a lot of questions about the ordinance, and I guess I wondered why it was put on the consent agenda without first going to one of the committees or a full council briefing, because I think there could be a lot of questions and a lot of input. So I'm wondering if we could send it back to a committee or a council briefing.
All right, so we have a motion to send this back to committee. I'll second that motion to bring it back to public safety to answer any of those questions that we have. About 9 months ago, when I started asking, I ride my bike a few times, about our ability to prosecute drivers that are not safe, it was obvious to me that we did not have ordinances to make it easy to prosecute people. And so I asked the city manager's office and the attorney to look at this. I'm glad we're having this discussion. This is a very serious issue as we become more bike friendly. So, Ms. Medrano, if you'll take this up at public safety, if everybody approves that, we need to vote on that. And that's your next meeting, and then get it and bring it back if you choose. That's fine. So we have a motion and a second,
Mr. Mayor,
to move that. Any other discussion?
Yes.
Hold on here. Let me do this correct. Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. I was driving over the bridge to Oak Cliff the other week, and we have some bicycle lanes on there, but they're not the entire length of the bridge. And it was dusk, and I came this close to hitting a cyclist. And I just got to tell you, as we put these bike markings down, we have to make sure that they're consistent and that they're easy for the motorists to follow. It was really frightening. I did not even see him until I was almost on top of him. So I just want to say that as you know, we go forward and do this, and certainly I'm in favor of it. But when you're in a car, you know, you have got to be, number one, you have to be watchful, but number two, we have to make it so that the driver is going to be able to navigate this easily and not hit those cyclists. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins.
Yeah, Mayor, you know, I just want to make sure that Pauline, when you do take this back up in public safety, I'm looking at a timeline, Mayor, when we just come back to the full council. Is that a timeline you're trying to... bring this back.
The first voting agenda after the public safety meetings.
Right. And I think Mayor, you know, Ms. Grayson made a good point. You know, especially in Oak Cliff, and when we do not have bike lanes marked at all, like in this race, we do not have in a bike lane, but we do have a whole lot of cyclists there, especially by Boulder Park, by Dallas at the airport. I think that we probably need to put an education piece. Even though it's not a bike lane, I don't know how we put that in there, Mayor. As Sandra said, when you do have a bike lane not marked, what about the bike lane that is not marked, and what do you do there? How do you accomplish that goal also? So I think it's more education on the motor vehicle who's driving. They should be aware of a bicycle in front of them. How do they do that?
Thank you, Mr. Atkins. Ms. Harper. We'll go to you. Ms. Hassel first, and Ms. Coop got bumped out of, and so bring her after you,
okay.
Ms. Hassel.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. And again, I think it's a good ordinance. We do need to add some things to it. I think that the pedicabs that have begun operation in Bishop Arts need to be looked at as part of that, the bicycle information. And certainly, I agree with Mr. Atkins that. We've got to make sure that we do an awareness campaign to make sure that people know how to drive around the cyclists, including pedicabs. And there might be a third one called EFOG that is not a motor vehicle, but is powered by pedal power. So there are more than just the bicycles that this ordinance could affect. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Coop, and then we'll do Mr. Alonzo.
In the past, we've always said that education really is a key as well. I know we're trying to put some PSAs up. A lot of this has to do, in my opinion, safety has to do with drivers understanding and also the bicyclists understanding what their role is on the street And so I would encourage us really to have a heavy education program. I do want to ask Keith Minoy one question about those charros that are on, I think it's the Jefferson Bridge. Is that right, Keith? I was on there the other day. I was going into town. It was on the Jefferson Street Bridge, right?
That's correct.
Those were a demonstration project, is that what it was?
No.
They're different colors?
The ones actually on Jefferson were not put up by the city. They were put up in the night. So our code enforcement department is working to get those removed.
Right. And that's what I was going to say. I was on there, too. It is very confusing. This is one of the reasons why we don't have, you know, just going out and have citizens putting them up and also, you know, doing them not with the appropriate type of reflective paint and that kind of thing. It was very confusing. I agree with you. So we're very fortunate that you didn't have an accident and the bicyclist didn't have an accident. I know that's very scary. But to get the word out to the public, as much as they want bicycle lanes, it is, you know, inappropriate to put charros on the street that are not in compliance with ASHTO regulations and that the city does not know about, because that really is a serious problem there. Thank you for bringing that up, Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Ms. Coop. Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mayor. And the only thing I was going to add, if it would be a friendly amendment to also send it to the Quality of Life Committee.
That's Ms. Grayson?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm Ms. Hunt. I'm sorry. My bad. Ms. Hunt. Yeah. No. That's good. I just wanted to check and make sure that she wanted to take up. Please. Just the only thing I ask is that we don't take forever. We meet at the next one and we bring it back. Okay? Thank you. Ms. Hunt, you're up.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First of all, thank you so much for bringing this forward. I think this is an important ordinance. Other cities have taken this on, and I'm really appreciative that you did as well. I got a call from Bike Texas. The executive director there has just a couple of suggestions to make improvements to the ordinance. One is to make sure we add a specific distance rather than just saying a safe distance. Their point was the current law in Texas is a safe distance, and the improvement that the state legislature enabled was to have some specificity there. So they recommend anywhere between 3 and 6 feet. So that's something we might want to consider looking at. And I also want to say I'm thrilled that we're moving forward on some type of bicycle infrastructure. I think what if our goal, though, is to see more people riding, we're going to see more people riding bicycles if they're separated from cars in a physical way, whether that's bollards, whether that's curbing, whether it's a parkway, whatever. But we see in city after city in the United States and around the world that when you create a separated facility, you dramatically increase ridership. And when you just put paint and shared lanes, you don't see that bump. So I don't want us to get complacent with these markings on our roads, and I hope that we push forward and broaden our type of infrastructure for our bicycles. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Hunt. I will say that the in your committee, discussing the specific distance will be important, because there are some police issues that were brought to my attention on that would be useful as you contemplate. Thank you. Ms. Davis.
Yes, can I have, which department is working on the bike lanes? Keith, I have a book, it's a manual handbook out of New York City that I think I got it from Scott, his book on shared bike lanes, and I took it home and I read it, and I like some of the concepts. In the book, they kind of have the bike lane separated from the buses, the cars. Is there any way, what concept did we come up with to do the share between the cars, the bikes, and the buses?
Our bike plan will consist of not only shared lanes, but separated bike lanes and what's called buffer bike lanes. To do buffer bike lanes takes a little bit more right away. We are attempting to do that wherever possible. You'll see some of our first designated bike lanes are already done in Oakville. You'll see
of his downtown, along Wood and Jackson as a part of the Central Core connection. Shared lanes are obviously the easier ones to get done to designate the route.
Well, so, you know, you take the bike lanes on MLK. I wish we could have kind of, it was enough, it was wide enough, I think, where we could have made the bike lanes separate from the buses and the cars. Is there any way that we could perhaps go back and look at that?
The primary reason why you see them striped the way they are on MLK is because parking is allowed along the street on MLK. So to we allow that that area for those businesses remain to have their parking remain. The share road is placed in the center lane so that bicyclists know that they need to ride in the center, but they share their lane with cars. There's not enough room to actually do a separate bike lane and the car lane and the parking, so we'd have to something would have to go away.
Well, let me ask you. In the book, they have some bike lanes in the center of the medium, and a lot of people don't use the center of the medium. Is there any way that we can do a bike lane in the center?
Again, we'd have to look at it on a case by case basis. When you do bike lanes in the medium, you have issues at the end as they need to either cross or make turns. So I can't say specifically that we, that's something we can look at, but that application is one that's a little bit more difficult to achieve.
Okay, if we can take a look at that, because I would want the most mileage, and I think because on Sunday I saw a couple of bikers on MLK, they were still kind of close to the curb, because some of the cars are going 45, 50, and of course when you're paddling your bike, you're not able to do 50, you know, you can't keep up with the cars and the buses. So it kind of went over to the side just a little. So I think we just need to continue to work on that process. And then I want to ask a question, Mr. Mayor. How did item 3 get on the agenda without going to any of the committees?
The city manager put it on.
Okay.
I'd ask her, as I said, I'd ask her to understand why we didn't have a bike ordinance.
Okay.
And get one. And I said, time's wasting. Let's get this going. And it was put on this last time.
Okay. I guess what the only thing I'm asking is, if the mayor, and if you know that some of your colleagues might have questions, then I would think, I'm just asking, because it's fine with me, but if there's questions, it seems like it should have gone to committee, nor there might be questions.
I second the motion to send it to committee.
Okay. Thank you.
Next issue, Ms. McDonald.
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to make just some clarification that we will be taking on the awareness and education component on this, bicycle, pay cab, e-frog, specific distance, responsibility and roles of cyclists and vehicles, and I think probably a little bit of etiquette on this as well. I think if Ms. Hunt and I can coordinate, we meet on the same day and we have meetings back to back, so we could probably cover it on the same day and then bring it up at the next voting council meeting. Thank
Great.
You.
Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor. I think this is a great ordinance and a great opportunity to move forward with more not only bike ordinances but bicycle infrastructure. And Keith, I just wanted to address Jefferson because I know we've got some gorilla, if you will, sharas out there, and we do have a plan for Jefferson, don't we, to make it two-way with a physically separated bicycle facility, and we've got that funded. And how soon are we going to start construction?
We should expect to see that around the beginning of the year. Don't want to go get too far off topic, but that project is in conjunction with the Houston Street project. So those that reconfiguration of Jefferson for two-way traffic and for the bike lanes will happen in the January time frame.
Right, and we've got the physically separated infrastructure there.
It is planned to be physically separated through FlexDeck.
Great. And certainly thanks to Councilmember Medrano for her assistance with that since we share the bridge. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Griggs. Mr. Fairway.
Yes, Mayor, and I think my concerns have been answered. But as Ms. Grayson was saying, she was traveling across the bridge into Oak Cliff. I'm glad to have you over in Oak Cliff, Ms. Grayson. maybe in certain areas, as even Ms. Davis was speaking, and I think you said something about flex something. Is that that stuff like on the HOV lane?
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Because some type of separation that's minimum at cost, but that will separate in certain key areas will help us educate moving forward as these bike lanes appear all over the city. But as long as something is in motion, and I have a problem with that, but things like that bridge, it's very, very important. People are at a high rate of speed, you know, on the bridges, and those bicyclists are there, and we need to address those type of issues as quickly as possible. So I'm hearing it, and I'll be paying attention as we go.
Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Allen?
The great idea of bringing back to the committee, and the reason I support this too is, you know, we live in a city of what, 1.3 million, Metroplex, 6.3 million. The more educational component that we end up doing, the more messaging that we get out, because ultimately the messaging is what's going to control this behavioral process. So it's the more we can do that, the better it will be for all the citizens, the ones that enjoy riding bicycles and the ones that do the cars. So the more messaging, the better off we're all. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. I'll let Mr. Cadane speak because he hasn't spoken this issue, and then we'll come back.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd just like to thank you all, Keith, and thank you, Mayor, for bringing it forward. And it's all about safety. And the quicker we can get the separate lanes, like Ms. Hunt said, the better off we'll all be. That's my main concern, is that our cyclists are safe. And we want to be sure that we do make all the credit to make it safe for the cyclists. So, and I'm glad we're moving on it to get something done. But that's the main concern, and hopefully in these meetings we're going to bring that up also. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Cadane. Second round, Ms. Davis.
Yes, Keith, I'm interested in separation and looking at MLK. Can someone meet with me sometime next week, and then we can just go back and take a look at Martin Luther King, because I'm really interested in seeing how we can separate those bike lanes.
Absolutely.
So they cannot be shared lanes. Thanks, sir.
Sure.
Thank you, Mrs. Graceman.
Thank you, Mayor. I was pleased to hear Ms. Medrano say that we're also going to be looking at duties and responsibilities for the cyclists also, as well as for the motorists. This all deals with the motorists, but one of the reasons that I almost hit that cyclist on the bridge was it was dusk and he didn't have any light, he didn't have any reflective tape or anything on to help me be able to see him. So I think that cyclists also have to take responsibility for their part in this. And Mr. Carraway, I am frequently in Oak Cliff, and you are welcome to come to Far North Dallas sometime. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson. We have a motion and a second to send this item back to public safety and quality of life for consideration. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Thank you very much. I appreciate everyone's passion on this issue. I sense that we want to do this. It's great. I will say next Wednesday is Bike to Work Day, okay? So let's get on our bikes and let's bike to work, because we got to set examples. Thank you very much. Next item.
Thank you. Your next item is consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. For individual appointment, you have Charles Chick Cohen, nominated to the Permit and License Appeal Board by Councilmember Allen. For full council appointment, all the registered voters of Dallas County is Antonio Hubert to the Reinvestment Zone 2 Board, City Place Area, nominated by Councilmember Hunt. Eric D. Overton to the Reinvestment Zone 8 Board, Design District, nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Medrano. You also have Raul Magdaleno, nominated as chair by Mayor Rawlings to the Automatic Red Light Enforcement Commission, and Omar Narvaez as vice chair of the Community Development Commission, nominated by Councilmember Hasso.
We have a motion and second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 27 will require a record vote. And it also requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of power of eminent domain if necessary to acquire from William D. Freeman and Mary M. Freeman a tract of land containing approximately 106,030 square feet, 35,243 square feet for wastewater easement, and 70,687 square feet for temporary construction working space easement of land located at 13700 Kleberg Road near the intersection of Beltline Road and Kleberg Road in City of Dallas Block 8806, Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the installation, use, and maintenance of a wastewater main together with such appurtenant facilities as may be necessary.
Entertain a motion. We have a motion, second. And we have a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, we'll vote.
Please start voting.
Now, one other
all
person.
Have voted on the motion. Voting in favor, Council Members Angela Hunt, Margolin, Davis, Hasso, Caraway, Allen, Coop, Mayor Rawlings, Councilmember Alonzo, Mayor Pro Tem Medrano, Councilmembers Grayson, Griggs, Cadane, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins, and Councilmember Hill. The motion passes, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I would suggest that we take the next six items as a block, unless there is a problem with that. Okay. I see no objections, so let's...
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Item number 28 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of power of eminent domain if necessary to acquire from Ike Stern and Sarah Stern a tract of land containing approximately 6,145 square feet located near the intersection of Stokes Street and Hall Avenue in City of Dallas Block 4-7641 Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the construction, installation, use, and maintenance of a parking lot, a pavilion, and athletic fields for the South Central Park, together with such appurtenant facilities as may be necessary. Item number 29 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of power of eminent domain if necessary to acquire from Dallas Demolition Excavating Company, Inc., a tract of land containing approximately 67,795 square feet, located near the intersection of Stokes Street and Hall Avenue in City of Dallas, Block 4-7641, Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the construction, installation, use, and maintenance of a parking lot, a pavilion, and athletic field for the South Central Park, together with such appurtenant facilities as may be necessary. Item number 30 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of power of eminent domain if necessary to acquire from Harold Toplitz and Jack Toplitz a tract of land containing approximately 26,639 square feet located near the intersection of Fellows Lane and Satan Street in City of Dallas Block 5-7642 Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the construction, installation, use, and maintenance of a parking lot, a pavilion, and athletic field for the South Central Park, together with such appurtenant facilities as may be necessary. Item number 31 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of power of eminent domain if necessary to acquire from Tanner Montgomery two tracts of land containing approximately 35,978 square feet located near the intersection of Fellows Lane and Satan Street in City of Dallas Block 5-7642 Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the construction, installation, use, and maintenance of a parking lot, a pavilion, and athletic field for the South Central Park, together with such appurtenant facilities as may be necessary. Item number 32 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt and authorize the use of power of eminent domain if necessary to acquire from Sedalia Harris an improved tract of land containing approximately 12,066 square feet located near the intersection of Fellows Lane and Satan Street in City of Dallas Block 5-7642, Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the construction, installation, use, and maintenance of a parking lot, a pavilion, and athletic field for the South Central Park, together with such appurtenant facilities as may be necessary. Item number 33 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of power of eminent domain if necessary to acquire from Dennis Hillplate an improved tract of land containing approximately 12,198 square feet located near the intersection of Fellows Lane and Safeham Street in City of Dallas Block 5-7642, Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item, for the construction, installation, use, and maintenance of a parking lot, a pavilion, and athletic field for the South Central Park, together with such appurtenant facilities as may be necessary.
Thank you, Ms. Rios. Let me read this. If any councilman wants to consider any of these items separately, that item will be pulled and voted on separately. Does any council member want to consider any of these items separately? Hearing that, may I have a motion to approve items 28 through 33. Mr. Caraway.
Thank you, Mayor. I want to move this. This is the Joppa community, and I do want to, at this time, move approval of this item, of these items.
Thank you. Do we have a second? We have a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. It's a record vote. Thank you.
Please start voting. All have voted on the motion. Voting in favor, Council Members Hunt, Margolin, Davis, Hasso, Caraway, Allen, Koop, Mayor Rawlings, Council Member Alonzo, Mayor Pro Tem Medrano, Council Members Grayson, Griggs, Cadane, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins, and Council Member Hill. The motion carries, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Next item.
Item number 34 is authorize a contract with Mario Sinacola and Sons Excavating, Inc., lowest responsible bidder of 10 for the construction of street paving, storm drainage, and water and wastewater main improvements for the Merrifield Road extension.
We have a motion to approve.
Move approval.
And we have a second. Did you get second? Any discussion? We have a record vote here.
No need.
All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
The following statement will apply to agenda items number 35 and addendum item number 8. By making and seconding this motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable of both the facts and the circumstances of the case and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Agenda item number 35 is authorize a Chapter 380 Economic Development Grant Agreement pursuant to Chapter 380 of the Texas Local Government Code, in accordance with the city's public-private partnership program with Encore International Investment Funds, LLC, related to the creation of a call center operation at 2608 Inwood Road, Dallas, Texas, 75235. This item does require 2 seconds.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. We have a motion and 2 seconds. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Addendum item number 7 is a resolution designating absences by Mayor Pro Tem Pauline Medrano, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Tennell Atkins, Council Members Dwayne Caraway, Council Member Bonfield Jones Hill, Council Member Jerry Allen, Council Member Linda Koop, and Council Member Sandy Grayson as being for official city business.
Hold on here. If we do all this and these people leave, we don't have a quorum. We don't need a quorum in that.
Mr. Mayor, there is actually no financial interest in this item, so there would be no conflict.
Just a procedural. I need some procedural coaching here. Thank you. Please, everybody, step out. The name is. You don't need to leave. If you can't vote, you need to leave. Thank you. Okay. All right. Thank you. Do we have a motion to approve? A second. We've got a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Okay, please come back.
Everyone may return. Everyone may return to the council chamber.
Okay, go ahead. Let's start to read. We got a quorum. Go ahead. Start reading.
Addendum item number 8 is authorized a Chapter 380 Economic Development Grant Agreement with the North Dallas Chamber of Commerce pursuant to the City of Dallas Public-Private Partnership Program for a Valley View Galleria Area Planning Study. This item does require 2 seconds.
Thank you. I intend a motion, Ms. Koop.
Move approval.
Second.
We got 2 seconds. Any discussion? Yes, Ms. Koop.
Just Mayor, that I want to recognize Bruce Bradford and Carol Short from the North Dallas Chamber and thank them very much for taking on this responsibility to help us with the 400-acre vision plan in that area. It's very, very important. I see one of the property owners here as well. So, but it's for that whole acreage between the Galleria and Preston Road. So thank you for your efforts.
Thank you. I am also want to say thank you. This is a very important decision and strategy for the City of Dallas as we take on. So it's important work, and thank you for stepping up. Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. I also want to say what a wonderful effort this is. Thank you to the Chamber for leading it. I did want to mention that in the backup materials, it talks about some of the regional improvements that are going to happen along with this area being redeveloped. And it mentions the Cotton Belt, which is miles to the north. And I would tell you there are a lot of people in my district who believe strongly that that rail line should have gone down LBJ and that it would have done our city a lot of good to put that rail line on LBJ instead of the Cotton Belt, which actually benefits our northern suburbs and helps them in their economic development efforts versus helping the City of Dallas. It would have been a wonderful addition to all of our efforts to try to revitalize LBJ had a rail line been down LBJ instead of the Cotton Belt. I think we're going to live to regret that decision. But again, this is a wonderful effort, and I applaud you.
Thank you.
I applaud Ms. Koop because she did a lot of work on this. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Mr. Mayor, that concludes your items this morning.
Thank you. It is 10 a.m., October 10, 2012. The City Council will now go into closed session under Section 551-071 of the Open Meetings Act to receive advice from and consult with the City Attorney on the following matters described on today's agenda. De Los Santos et al., the City of Dallas. We will reconvene at 1 p.m. Yes, closed session right here, right now. Thank you. Mr. President, you had a sheet. Do I need to read that? Okay. Okay, if I don't need to. All right, we'll begin our afternoon session. Have public hearings on the zoning cases. Ms. Rios.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Your zoning consent consists of items number 36 through 39. However, item number 36 has been pulled for individual consideration by Councilmember Davis. Item number 37 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for industrial outside not potentially incompatible use for a concrete batch plant on property zoned in IR Industrial Research District on the south side of Crystal Lake Boulevard west of Van Morton Drive. Item number 38 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the creation of a new tract within Planned Development District number 730 for mixed uses on the southwest corner of Fair Street and Hooper Street. Item number 39 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a new sub-district within Planned Development District number 621 on property zoned in Sub-District 1A within Planned Development District number 621 in the northwest corner of North Riverfront Boulevard and Payne Street. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the items read into the record? Ma'am, if you'll please step forward, state your name and address for the record. You'll address your comments to Mayor Rawlings, and you will have 3 minutes to speak. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Crystal Diaz. My address is 654 Johnson Avenue in Duncanville, Texas, 75116. I work for Cowboy Trucking, a family-owned and operated truck hauling company. Our address is 5610 Crystal Lake Boulevard. We are currently the neighbors of Ashley Concrete, also known as Barton Utilities, located on the west side of them. For the past year, some issues have arisen with our neighbors. For months, there was concrete powder spewing out of the top of the silo used to make their concrete.
Ma'am, so we can listen to you well. What item are you speaking to?
Oh, I'm sorry. Item number 37.
Thank you very much. Keep going.
Okay.
Please.
For months, there was concrete powder spewing out of the top of the silo used to make their concrete. This powder attached itself to whatever it was near, including our trucks and vehicles and of our drivers. Most importantly, the trees that are closest to the silo are discolored due to the amount of concrete powder that is stuck on them. We addressed this issue many times with Ashley Concrete and had to result in contacting the city to see any action taken. We do not know what irreparable damage or long-term damage that has been done to our greenery. I also must mention that this concrete silo is extremely close to our property line. After many attempts to resolve this issue with our neighbors, it took having to contact air quality control for any results. There is a creek that runs through all five of the properties of our block. Ashley Concrete filled in this creek with gravel. As a result, their property level is higher than ours, and our property gets all of their drainage. Debris, gravel, and water, you name it. After many attempts to resolve this issue with our neighbors, it took having to contact Trinity Wastewater Management for any results. When it rains, water from Ashley Concrete property washes gravel debris onto our property and out also into our creek bed. So much gravel has washed into our creek that the level of our creek bed has risen 2 feet and in some areas 3 feet above its original level. A very old water well that was on our property in this creek has been covered over completely with gravel because of failure to control the drainage on their property. After many attempts to resolve this issue with our neighbors, it took having to contact Trinity Wastewater Management for any results. They somewhat fixed this problem with hay. The problem still exists, not as bad as before, but we are still stuck with a halfway filled in creek, and now their gravel is beyond our property line. Most of this drainage comes onto our property. We would like a more permanent solution, such as a retaining wall, to control their property. Cowboy Trucking makes an effort to maintain and appreciate the environment on and surrounding its property. We are opposed to the use of the specific property next door to be used as a concrete batch plant. And that is all.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Are there any other individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any, ma'am, if you'll please step forward? If you'll please clarify what agenda item you'll be speaking on. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Elizabeth Walton, and I'm speaking about item number 38. And I was wondering first, before I speak, am I allowed to ask any questions?
You can ask the questions, but we can't answer.
Okay. Well, I am here on behalf of my mother, Alice Jackson, for item number 38. The questions that I have and we're not clear about is the notification that we received in the mail for this item. Is it that my mother will have to sell her home? And if so, who's purchasing the home? And if it's approved, when will the project begin?
Thank you. I will not answer your question, but I'll tell you how to get the answer to your question. This gentleman right over here, Mr. Costum, if you can go meet with him, he can get you those answers.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? We have one individual.
Audra Buckley, 416 South Irvay. I'm the representative on item number 37. I don't know if you want me to address this now, if we're going to pull it. Go ahead and do it now.
Yes, please go.
Okay. We are aware that we had some dust control issues out here at Ashley Concrete, Ashley is currently going in and trying to alleviate some of this with some new paving. That was something that the Plan Commission asked us to add to the SUP conditions. We've also gone in and added in a drainage pond to collect some of the water out there. So we would be happy to meet with the opposition. This is the first that I've heard of it being represented, if there was any opposition to that case, and be happy to meet with them on ways that we can alleviate this. Now, this has been under operation with a temporary CO, and they are currently under contract doing some work for the City of Dallas. So we want them in compliance. We want them function and set the example for everybody else that that comes out and looks at the site. We also know that there's an issue with the storm drainage. We've had to put a SWIP together to submit to the city. We've already had TCEQ out there, and they've said that we comply with all the environmental regulations, and we have taken steps to mitigate some of the dust coming out of these silos. The silos is actually about, I'd say about 60 feet from the property line from the trucking company, and I know that there's been some conversation between Ashley and our next-door neighbor about this, and we'd be happy to sit down and talk with them on ways that we can help keep these things off of their property. So if you have any questions for me, let me know.
Thank you very much.
Are there any other speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Griggs.
I'd like to move the items forward, but pulling 37 out for individual consideration.
Okay. So do we have a motion? You're making a motion to approve 36, 38, and 39?
Correct. Mr. Mayor, 36 is correct. So it would be
I'm sorry, 38 and 39. Do we have a second? We have a second. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 36 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a recycling buyback center on property zoned in IM Industrial Manufacturing District on the south side of South Lamar Street between Lenway Street and Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 34 notices to property owners within 300 feet of their request. Received no replies in favor and no replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? Sir, please state your name and address for the record.
Yes, ma'am. I'm Robert Nicklaus with Nilby PLLC 1909 Whittle Rogers Street 500, speaking on behalf of the property owner. This SUP is for a two-year period for a recycling buyback center, a small portion of the warehouse facility on South Lamar. It had been operating the facility as a warehouse with a small portion being for a recycling buyback center until building inspection said that that was not an accessory use. We halted that activity and sought this SUP to purchase used car parts as part of the warehouse facility. This was passed unanimously through the CPC, and we're seeking approval here at City Council for the ordinance two-year period. Staff is in approval. And I take the remainder of time for any questions.
Thank you.
Are there any other individuals that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Davis.
Thank you, sir. I move to close the public hearing and approve the CPC recommendation for an SUP for a recycling buyback center with parking requirement according to the Dallas Development Code.
A motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 37, I'll reiterate it for the record, is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for an industrial outside not potentially incompatible use for a concrete batch plant on property zoned in RER Industrial Research District on the south side of Crystal Lake Boulevard west of Dan Morton Drive.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 18 notices to property owners within 300 feet of their request. Received 2 replies in favor and no replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor?
outside of those that have already spoken. No further speakers this morning.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to hold this case, leave the public hearing open, and hold it over for 2 weeks. This is the first time any opposition's arisen in this case. I discussed it with staff. Staff supports it. CTC supported this use, and it is in an industrial research district, which is so this use is appropriate. But I hear your concerns. So if you could come down and get with staff, and we'll get the applicant over here. I think we can work this out very quickly with the SUP conditions if it's not already worked out, and then get this moving forward.
So your motion is
two weeks.
2 weeks. Do we have a second? Second, Ms. Alonzo. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 40 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a commercial amusement inside for a dance hall within Planned Development District Number 498, the Harry Hines Corridor Special Purpose District, on the north side of Royal Lane between Rita Road and Harry Hines Boulevard.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 36 notices to property owners within 400 feet of their request, received 2 replies in favor and 1 reply in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CTC recommendation to approve the item? Sir, if you'll please step forward to the microphone, you will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please address your comments to Mayor Rowland.
Hello, my name is Brandon Chu. I represent a company called Assign Mall at 2529 Royal Lane. We are right next door neighbor to the applicant who have proposed the zoning change. First off, I'd like to let you know that our company has been in the area since 1987, and then we have been located at the address where the zoning change has been proposed since 1997. So it's been about 15 years. And then during those time, we have never had any issue with our neighbors nor with the law. And then depends on what the outcome of this zoning change might come, we might have to actually move out from the location. To start off, the first reason we are opposed to the zoning change is that the way we see it, the SUP is for there to be used when a business can operate a business, so it will generate revenue which will benefit the city, and then also generate the jobs as well. And then from our research, the business has already been running since beginning of this year, but they have not reported any sales tax nor hired any employees. And then I believe there is already more than 10 businesses which is similar to theirs that already run their business within the 1 mile radius from where the zoning change has been proposed. And then secondly, this business has been already operating, letting people dance, drink alcohol, sell alcohol since beginning of this year. So I don't even know why they're even proposing a zoning change if they're already doing, whatever they want at the location. And then also, when they first obtained their current CO to operate as a commercial amusement place, I believe, their documents that were submitted to the city were already somewhat fraudulent or not on a truthful base. And then lastly, this issue has been already gone through the city planning committee. And at that time, the city committee member who represent our district has proposed to extend the length from 3 years to 5 years. And then I just don't know what that, that is based on. I mean, at the time when I was at the hearing at this location, it felt like as though the committee member was, handing out ice cream to whoever that he, favors. So I just want to know what those, decisions are based on, and then, if it is something that I can understand or we, our company can understand, then we'll just, take it as is. And finally, oops, I guess there's no time.
Sorry, thank you.
All right,
you're coming down.
Are there any other individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CTC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? Have one individual? Please state your name and address for the record.
Good afternoon. My name is Brian Nin. I am the lawyer for International Event Center. And I am here obviously in support of passing this SUP. We came here first on September 6th in front of the CPC, and the stuff was unanimously passed. To give you a history of what is going on and why we have so much contention, I think it's very important in your decision. International Event Center is a banquet hall. It provides a space for quinceañeras, wedding banquets, and such. It's been in operation since December. Actually, it's been incorporated in December, actually incorporated in November, and then it started in business in December. No problems. And then all of a sudden in May of this year, we've had lots of problems with the neighbor. To give you due to the time, I'll be quick, but numerous allegations of noise, numerous allegations of burglary, and all of the local police department, and also to the Dallas police, all the way up to Chief Brown, had been notified of all of this. So his family has gone through every avenue we can think of to try to oppose this. So, however, all along the way, my clients are basically a legitimate business. They provide a banquet hall for quinceañeras and wedding banquets, and they're in the process of filling out their last application, which is the stuff, which the CPC unanimously passed. And that's why we're here. We have fulfilled all the requirements in terms of a certificate of occupancy, parking, and handled, and numerous police visits and everything, but there's been no instances of actual citations that have been punished. So we come here before you to ask for you to approve of this SUP.
Please put the microphone to your...
Ma'am, you will also be allowed 3 minutes.
My name is Yang Shi. I'm the owner of International Event Center LLC. This is located 2529 Royal Lane, Suite 205. I want to speak about this allegation about not paying a sales tax. I pay sales tax quarterly, which is already paid for two, which is the one that ended in March, one that ended in June, and then I'm preparing one for ended in September, which you have October 22nd to pay for that. However, the sales tax only applied to something other than renting the space. I already checked with the city controller's office. If I were to just to rent the space, which is room, rent the room, do I have to collect sales taxes? No. If you're only renting a room, there's no sales tax needed. If I'm selling something, and then we have to collect the sales tax, which we don't sell a whole lot. We're just providing a space. We don't sell no alcohol, beverages. We don't sell no food. We don't sell hardly anything. We're kicking and sell chairs and tables, which is repaid sales tax. We collect sales tax, we already paid for. So I don't know where you get these allegations, and obviously he did not do his homework. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Alonzo.
I move to close a public hearing and move the item forward as recommended by CPC.
Second. Got a motion, second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 41 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a renewal of specific use permit number 1813 for a recycling collection center on property zoned in IR Industrial Research District on the northeast corner of Sylvan Avenue and Fabrication Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 19 notices, property owners within 200 feet of the area request. Receipt filed replies in favor and one reply in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor?
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, my name is Peter Cavanaugh. My address is 1620 Handlin Drive, Dallas.
requesting a specific use permit for a recycling center. This would just allow this business to continue to operate. There have been a couple of issues that were resolved the last 3 or 4 weeks, and so we humbly request approval of the specific use permit. Any questions, I'd be happy to answer. Thank you.
Are there any other individuals that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to close the public hearing and move for approval.
Got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
The following statement will apply to items number 42 and 43. By making and seconding this motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable of both the facts and the circumstances of the case and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. These items will require 2 seconds. Item number 42 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to plan development subdistrict number 91 for multifamily subdistrict uses within plan development district number 193, the Oaklawn Special Purpose District, on the west corner of Cedar Springs Road and Herschel Avenue.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 203 notices to property owners within 600 feet of their request, received 8 replies in favor and 6 replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? Any speakers in favor? Sir, please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Jim Bruner, Vice President of Development for NRP Group. My address is 100 Fabro, Burney, Texas. NRP Group is the developer of the site. We currently own the site. We purchased it about 3 months ago. We're a multifamily development company nationwide, and we're typically one of the largest in the country. Late last week, we actually won the 2012 National Association of Home Builders Developer of the Year Award. So I'm told I'm supposed to plug that as often as I can, so that's my plug. Currently, the site is vacant. There's about 86 units on the site that are currently vacant, and we have plans for a 200-unit multifamily development on top of a two-level parking garage on the site. Currently, it allows for 185 units, and we're asking for basically an additional ability to go up to 30 units. We're only going to build 200 units, so an additional 15 units. The units range from approximately a little under 600 square feet to around 1,400 square feet total, and the rents range from about $1,000 a month to close to $2,000 a month. And I think that's it. If you all have any questions, we're more than happy to answer those. I appreciate your support.
Are there any other speakers in favor?
Carl Crowley, 900 Jackson Street, representing the now owner of the property. As Jim mentioned, this request basically comes down today. We can build 185 units in basically 3, 4, and 5 stories, and then allows a 6-story parking garage adjacent to the tollway. It's right there at the tollway in Cedar Springs. When that zoning was approved, it was a different owner and different developer. Now, Jim's group, NRP, has brought a move forward, and their plan calls for the same height, no additional height, but instead of having a 6-story parking garage next to the tollway, they're burying 2 levels of parking underground. And as part of that, they're asking for the 30 additional units. And as Jim mentioned, they're only going to build 15 of those. We went to the Oaklawn Committee, and obviously, y'all know the Oaklawn Committee. They're a big supporter of things like underground parking, so we were heroes. They liked the project before. We've got a stair step thing, so it's 3 stories right next to Cedar Springs to save some really huge live oaks that are on Cedar Springs. We had to rearrange the sidewalk just so we wouldn't have to plant trees, tear down good trees to plant small trees in the right location, but the arborist worked with us on that. And then the unintended consequence from the last time, if you know Oak Lawn, you're supposed to put trees along the front yard. One of our front yards is a tollway, and I really didn't want to go to NTTA and ask to put trees in the hole there on the tollway, so we cleaned up that act because obviously trees don't belong on the tollway. So really what we're asking for is the additional units in exchange for moving the parking garage underground. And like I said, the Oakland Committee supported us. The Condo Association directly across Cedar Springs has supported us too. They're thrilled about the parking being underground too and not seeing a parking garage from out their windows and stuff. Planning Commission recommended approval. I guess that's about it, and we're both here to answer any questions you might have. Thank you.
Are there any other individuals that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? There are no speakers, Mr. Mayor, and this item does require 2 seconds.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Medrano.
Have a question, Mayor, first, as Jim or Carl will come to the microphone. We've had a discussion, and I thank you for your letter. There are more and more apartments, high-end apartments in Oak Lawn, and I'd ask to see if you could add a few affordable units in, because you're asking for more units, and we appreciate, and I know the Oak Lawn Committee appreciates the underground parking, but you are asking for more units. Currently there's, 76 on site now, and I know there's a vacant area that you're going to build on, too. You know, we've had this conversation, and I know that you were going to think about it, and so I just wanted to see what you still had in mind.
Sure. NRP Group understands the need for affordable housing. We are typically the first, second, or third largest affordable housing developer in the country. That's how our company got started 15 years ago. And so we have a very large workforce housing group. This particular product was not designed for that. We're using all private investment funds. We're not using any state funds or tax credits or low tax exempt bonds or anything like that. So we're using all private equity from institutions. But the rent levels that we do have set, as I mentioned to you, they do a portion of the units that we have, not all the units, but a portion of the units do meet kind of the 80% of the Dallas area median income rent restrictions. And so that's approximately some of the one-bedroom units, and about 70% of our development is one-bedroom. Not all of those meet that, but I'd probably say, 10 to 12 units meet that. And, we're committed to keeping those rents at a level that a portion of these additional units would qualify at the 80% level for a number of years. And we think that's going to work out. It's going to be affordable for those residents.
Again, how many total would that be, the ones that meet the 80%?
I think it all depends, obviously, on if it's a one-person household or a two-person household, but probably, somewhere between 3 to 7 units on the overall development.
Well, you just mentioned the number 12.
Yeah, maybe 12. I don't know exactly off the top of my head, but I think that what we were committed to is making sure that at least a portion of those units stay available for 3 to 7, 5.
And for how many years?
For 5 years.
So you said 80% of the
area median? 80% of the area median.
Mayor, I'd like to move to approve item 42 with the caveat that they have the 10 apartments at the 80% area median income for the 5 years.
All right, we've got a motion in 2 seconds with that amendment. You've got that material? Okay. Any discussion, Mr. Allen?
And I'll go along, obviously, with you. But I just want to say congratulations to you on that award. That's huge. That's huge. And so it speaks volumes about your company and such. So congratulations on attaining that award.
Well, thank you very much. And this is actually, we're the first firm to ever win it 2 times.
Big time.
We're doing it in 2009 as well. Thank you very much.
Big time. Speaks volumes.
Thank you. Judge Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, may I have permission to speak directly to Ms. Medrano?
Please.
Ms. Medrano, what is the sanction if they do not meet the amendment?
We'd have to go with maybe the attorney. I don't know. Once they agree, or David Kossoff, if they...
Is the intent to amend the ordinance to add this as a condition to the,
yes,
to the PD? It would be treated just as any other zoning violation. There might be a way to build in some monitoring, but we'd ask that we approve it with the ordinance to come back so we can kind of address some of those details.
Because we've done this.
I've done this before.
I would need some time to research whether that's a condition that we can put into a zoning ordinance, to be honest with you.
What does that mean? We shouldn't vote on this then?
It would be better to hold the case for 2 weeks or something and give us some time to research whether that's a condition that we can put into an ordinance.
Because in the past, we have had where there are some conditions and there are some monitoring devices, either on a yearly or two-year basis, that they are meeting the conditions that we voted on.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I had no advance notice that you were going to do this, so I really can't give you an answer right now. I know in our code we have the standard affordable housing provisions, which gives a density bonus if you provide affordable housing, but that's not what you're proposing. You're proposing to require 10 units to be at, you know, affordable rate for a certain period of time. I would have to research whether we could do that.
Ms. McDonald, I support what you said. Please, I do want to know the condition.
Yes.
Because anyone can stand up in front of us now and say, yes, I'm going to do that. But if I don't understand the sanction, I'm at risk of voting on something that we want them to do and we can't sanction them.
Right.
But whatever you want,
Mayor,
I'm going to support.
Thank you, Mayor. Can we hold this?
We've got three
more items.
So we'll take the motion off the table at this point that you just made. You'll pull that motion back?
Yes.
Okay. And do you want to come back this way today?
We've got three more motions. Yes.
Okay, fine. Let's move, and we'll come back.
Item number 43 is a public hearing for an amendment to the Downtown Special Purpose Sign District, Section 51A-900 of the Dallas City Code, to amend the building occupancy requirements for non-premise district activity video board signs on property on buildings with retail and personal service uses, to include commercial parking lot or garage and lodging uses in an area generally bounded by Jackson Street, Lamar Street, Pacific Street, and Cesar Chavez Boulevard, and an ordinance granting an amendment.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 694 notices to property owners with a term fee of their request, received 16 replies in favor and 1 reply in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor?
Mr. Mayor, a member of the council, I'm John Crawford with Downtown Dallas, Inc., 2200 Ross Avenue, and I'm here to support, we are the applicant, in support of this change, and we would like to see the recommendation of the City Plan Commission followed. Be glad to answer any questions if necessary.
Are there any other individuals in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor. This item does require 2 seconds.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion.
Second.
We have a motion in 2 seconds. Any discussion? Mr. Atkins, Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. I read this and I thought, here's yet another example of our continually changing standards. I want to read some of the background material that we got on this item. In 2009, the City Council approved an amendment to the Downtown Special Provision Sign District to allow for non-premise district activity video board signs. There was a limit of 5 video board signs. In 2011, City Council amended the sign district to increase the number of video board signs in the downtown sign district to a total of 15 and increase the area in which the video board signs are allowed. In June of this year, the City Plan Commission approved a waiver of the 2-year waiting period so we could consider this application. Now there's an amendment to the sign district regulations to allow placement of video boards on hotels and parking structures. The general provisions of one of our sections in the code pertains to the occupancy of buildings upon which video boards may be attached. Non-premise district activity video board signs are only permitted on buildings with retail and personal service uses other than commercial parking lots or garages, or office uses occupying at least 75% of the leasable ground floor area and an overall building occupancy of at least 50%. Now we're going to change this to say parking garages are okay, hotels are okay, but you cannot do this on a commercial surface parking lot. And I'm wondering how long it's going to be until we get an application for a commercial surface parking lot to have a video board. And it just seems to me that we continue to set these standards. I wonder why we have office uses occupying at least 75%, building occupancy of at least 50% when, I mean, why do we bother setting them in the first place when all we do is continue to waive them? Now, I spoke to Jim Wood earlier today and asked him about this, and he made a very reasonable point which said the hotel use was simply an inadvertent oversight. And that does seem reasonable, and I can understand having a hotel use be allowed to have this since we've already let office uses and retail uses and personal service uses have it. But a parking garage, where is the nexus between increasing and complementing pedestrian activity at the ground floor level and video board signs? It's just because somebody who has a parking garage wants a video board. So, I mean, I know that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. I hate video board signs. The rest of you like them, apparently. But so I'm going to obviously be voting against this because it's a continual increase in things that were never meant to be this proliferation of this kind of use, I believe, originally. So I just wanted to make the point again that we continue to eat away at our standards when anybody comes in and asks for an exception. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins.
I will be supporting this motion. You know, once I like to say, you know, 2009, 2011 today, with all the changes, we are a growing city, and sometimes change has to happen. And if we're going to be a great city, we got to be aware of changes. You look at the Dolphin Hotel, they do the great parade, the Dolphin Newman Marcus Parade there. But you also look at the Texas OU Week in Information, the PSA. You know, most people who drive into the garage want to know information, what's going on with the city of Dallas. But that's a good avenue that when you got a parking garage, people will know what happened in the city of Dallas and go to PSA. Mr. Crawford, will you come forward, please? You know, and we talk about information, education downtown. I mean, you know, I just wonder how many people actually park in downtown garages.
Well, we've got about 135,000 people that work downtown. I can't give you the number of people that park in the garages, but they're heavily utilized.
Well, you know, if you look at the warning that we had this past year when the tornado hit in Oak Cliff, and when everybody was downtown, people were inside the building, people were in the garage, they really didn't know what was going on. I think that when we talk about the safety of downtown, the information, the fast to get information out, could those video boards could be used as public awareness, safety information?
Yes, sir. Right now, there's a rule that or an agreement that allows us to use 20% of the time on the video boards, and we use that through our DERT system, our Dallas Emergency Response Team unit. We put emergency alerts on there. We put PSA, public service announcements, on there, and we try to allocate about 20% of the existing time now and going forward to that type of use, which we have found to be very acceptable to people out in the community, residents and workers.
Right, and also, Mayor, we're talking about downtown, going to downtown. We're trying to get people to move downtown. We're talking about the internet, texting, tweeting, everything else. I think we live in a high-tech world now, and I think that we got to get information out to the citizen downtown when something is happening, something not having an event going on, and try to do promotion and all of that.
I think this opportunity that we're going to have changes downtown. We have roughly 12,000 people downtown now. There's going to be more and more and more. So we just got to educate and just go forward and be careful what we do. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Caraway.
Thank you. Mr. Crawford, while you're there, and David Cockham, if you'd please come. You mentioned of the programs in the PSA. Do we have a who choreographs?
Sorry, Mr. Caraway.
Who communicates with the video board owners?
We do. Okay. Downtown Dallas Inc. does.
Okay. So you all, if the city is wanting a PSA or suggesting the need,
yeah,
then you all have direct contact with.
Yeah, and that's just the way it's set up. I mean, as far as that's concerned, you could call and talk to somebody that owned the video board, and they'd probably coordinate with us just because we're trying to have some uniformity in what goes on those video boards, but we would probably be the conduit to make that happen.
And I would think that uniformity should remain instead of everybody just talking.
Yeah, we think it would be easier on everybody.
And I suggest that we keep it along those lines. Okay, and how many, Cossum, how many video boards do we have downtown, and how many super graphics do we have?
We have five video boards right now, and we have the ability to have 15, and basically all of those video boards are ready to be permitted, but they've been held up, partially held up, because of this recommended change. And in super graphics, we have the ability to put up 22, and David, I believe all of them are permitted. Right now, yes.
They're permitted. Are they up? The 22, are they up now?
I believe we do have that number permitted currently, but I can provide that information to you.
So we've not exceeded 22.
No, sir.
All right. One, and let me just say, I'm a advertising fanatic, and I know Ms. Grayson doesn't necessarily like the video boards, and I can concur with her. To a degree, but downtown looks pretty good. I mean, you know, some of these buildings, if you look at the buildings from 5 years ago, and you see some of these blighted buildings, and all of a sudden we see an advertisement there covering the blight. Basically, it's where I'm going. It's beginning to add some excitement. Okay, I just wanted to compliment and to say that I don't really have a problem with it in any of those areas. There's still some additional buildings that I'd like to see addressed, but when you're going down and you see the slickness of certain ads, to me personally, it is kind of exciting. It kind of gives me some excitement about the potential of downtown really coming back. So I'm going to continue to support it, but I do want to keep up with the numbers and the control of it, and also the economic opportunity, because I don't want to see it monopolized. I'm not going to get into that now, but I'd like to get one-on-one.
We can provide you that information.
And know who are the people with the 22 permit.
Number of companies, yes, sir.
If you give me that information,
you can do that.
I'd like to know who has the 22 permit.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Allen.
I agree with Councilman Caraway that with the video boards and such and the excitement that it brings, you go around to other cities and you do not see dark, dreary cities. You see vibrant cities is what you have. And we do change it over and over again. The majority changes it because they see that excitement. I was in New York City. Huge, huge billboards. People standing there looking excited about seeing the lights, the action, the cameras. Mayor, this Christmas, you worked hard last year to get some lights downtown. Something tells me, that same thing, lights. But what are people going to do? They're going to come downtown and look at it. They're going to come downtown and look at those lights. Lights. Or are they going to come down and look at dreariness? No, they're coming down and look at those lights and the excitement that goes with it. So I'm all for you on this thing. You light it up. That's what cities do, bring excitement. So that's my two cents.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. Jerry, I get excited too, but not in the same way you do. I would just like to remind my colleagues that as far as PSAs and education and information for people who go downtown, that's what the kiosks were supposed to do. We don't need to keep piling on. That said, John and Jim, I truly appreciate all the work you've done for downtown. It is looking good. It's turned the corner. That is exciting. It's just a matter of, you know, kind of, I think, personal taste. But thank you for the work that you guys have done. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Something short, Mr. Carroway?
Yes, sir. Jerry, thank you. You know, we do some tag teaming. And to this mayor over here, let me just say that I think he heard you, and I'm going to echo that mayor, we're looking for Christmas, and we're looking for Christmas downtown, and we want to really see this place lit up, because I'm going to tell you something, I'm not going to call this other city that's west of us, but they do a tremendous job, and I want to throw down the gauntlet, and I don't want no mediocre lights out there. They need to be strange, John. We need to be out there stringing these lights up now, and they need to be beautiful. You need to catch them while they're on sale and while we can afford them, because they are on sale now. And I am really pushing for this Christmas. I want to see us downtown Dallas, Mayor, and celebrating the holiday here in Dallas. I don't want to see them people going back over the west. And they do a good job over there. I want to commend them. And they do a good job. But we got this hotel that we're competing with, the reunion tower, the ball has gotten into it, trying to stay involved. And it's up to us, Mr. Crawford. And Jerry, you and I are going to make sure. We'll put your sunshades on when you come downtown. But, man, I just want to say that we're really looking. I really want you to take a serious look. And we are just the council. We can go down there and help decorate. And do a challenge, whatever it takes. I want to see us have a spectacular holiday this holiday season in our downtown. We're going to back it up, Jerry. All right?
And I think you will.
All right. I think Mr. Crawford's got a good plan. Judge Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Crawford, I want to publicly compliment you on the excellent, exceptional job that you have done with downtown Dallas. I have said that to you privately, but I want to say that publicly.
Thank you.
I came to Dallas in 1980, and I worked downtown and have been continuously downtown since that time. In 1980, downtown was ugly. It was gray and drab and ugly. You have made downtown bright and pretty. I applaud you for that. Now, Mr. Crawford, my question is, do you intend to stay for the next 20 years?
Well, I'd really like to be able to stay for 20 years, but I'm just taking it one day at a time at this stage in my life. But if I could just add to that, members of the council, that downtown does look a lot better, but success is a team sport, and we've got a lot of support from not only our stakeholders, but our council members. We couldn't do it alone, and we're very fortunate to be moving in the right direction, whether it's holiday lighting or whatever it is. We're working with everybody we can to interconnect everything related to downtown, whether it's West Dallas, whether it's Southern Dallas, whatever it is. And so we're very pleased with where we've been, and I just say thank you to all of you for your continued support, because without the public-private partnership, we wouldn't be there, Judge. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Crawford. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Cadane.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to extend on what Judge Hill said. I've known Mr. Crawford a long time. And ever since you've been there, our city's been on the move, and it's been moving up.
Thank you.
And I thank you so much for what you've done. Now, let me ask you about the signs in the garages. Will they be inside or outside?
They'll be outside.
Well, I think for that, they're going to doll these units up, these parking lots. I mean, they're a little bit dreary looking. I think this will be an asset to them, and it'll uplift them. So I think what you're doing is the right thing, and thank you and your crew for being there.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Any other discussion? All right, I think we have a motion. In 2 seconds, right? It was 2 hours ago, but I think we got that. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you all very much.
I'm sorry, excuse me, one no. Thank you. Two no's.
Thank
you. Two no's.
Item number 44 is a public hearing on the proposed City of Dallas Fiscal Year 2012-2013 Urban Land Bank Demonstration Program Plan, and at the close of the public hearing, consideration of approval of the City of Dallas Fiscal Year 2012-2013 Urban Land Bank Demonstration Program Plan. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on the item? Are there any individuals that would like to speak on item number 44? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 45 is a public hearing and a resolution granting a variance to the alcohol spacing requirements from the Kennemer Middle School required by Section 6-4 of the Dallas City Code to allow a wine and beer retailer's off-premise permit for a general merchandise or food store greater than 30,000 square feet, Walmart, on property on the north side of Wheatland Road and the west side of Clark Road. Are there any speakers that would like to speak on the item? Thank you, sir. If you'll please step up to the podium. You will be allowed 2 minutes to speak. If you'll please state your position on the item, whether you're in favor or opposed. Address your comments to Mayor Rawlings.
I'm speaking in opposition. I'm Mike Kreitzberg, address 1345 Green Hills Court, Duncanville. I'm representing Duncanville Independent School District, where I serve as Chief of Staff. Our concern in regards to the allowance of this variance is the impact that it would have on our middle school students at Kennemer. We have 720 students. Many of them are foot traffic. Having access to a business that is selling beer and wine creates a great concern for us. In our efforts, especially with students at that age level, 12, 13, 14 years of age, a time period where they're making very serious decisions about their behaviors. Also, our concern, too, is the location of the establishment and the issue in regards to traffic and safety for our students in the mornings and also at release time in the afternoon, and in turn with the various school events that occur in that area. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other speakers on item number 45? If you'll please state your position on the item, whether you're in favor or opposed.
I'm opposed.
I'm sorry, was that unopposed or
no,
opposed?
Opposed.
Opposed?
I don't want to. I think it's a bad idea.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you. Almost every week you're getting permits to liquor stores. Is it an amount of liquor stores that y'all going to stop at? Or do you go to like maybe 1,000 or 2,000? Every week you got maybe four or five liquor stores you want to put in different neighborhoods. Do y'all have a limit to stop? I mean, is it do y'all get to 1,000 and then you stop, or you just... Ms. Davis, she spoke on the when they had the signs out that we coming soon, the liquor stores. They had signs out that they were coming soon before y'all voted on it. Ms. Davis spoke on that. So either they paid somebody not to say nothing, and then when the liquor stores come to the different neighborhoods, then no council members say nothing about, you know, so many liquor stores in their neighborhood. How did the liquor store people know that, well, nobody gonna say nothing about the liquor stores going in their neighborhood? We already know they had signs out that we coming soon before y'all voted. And then you wanna put a liquor store close to us, you got an ordinance to stop this, but since it's Walmart, y'all want to make it closer to the schools. I was wondering about the schools, whether the schools going to come down here, and the schools came, and I want to thank them. I want to thank that guy from the school district for coming down here to speak out on this pitiful thing y'all finna do. I know Walmart already probably done grieved some pockets, so it's probably going to pass, but I was just glad somebody came down here and said something about the children, and then maybe when you start selling so much liquor, then they start running over the children, drunk running over the children, and then maybe somebody would, you know, somebody else would come down here instead of the school district, maybe some parents
and leaders, like leaders that's supposed to be leaders of the city, would come down here and say something once y'all start running over and killing kids, since y'all putting them so close, and then maybe y'all can y'all get them closer, and then maybe one day Walmart can put them right inside the on the school land, on the property of the school district. One day, you know, you keep getting closer.
Okay.
Thank you, Marlon.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other individuals that would like to speak on the item? Mr. Mayor, there are no further speakers as well. In order to approve the item, this would require 2 seconds. There was a statement read into the record for item number 4243. That statement does apply to this item as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rios. I'll entertain a motion. Mr. Griggs.
Thank you. I move to delay, hold open the public hearing, delay this case till December 12th. And the reason for that is there's a companion land use case, and we had a town hall meeting a few weeks ago where supporters and opposition came. Both sides and Walmart agreed with this, the representatives here, that we would delay this one so the cases would be synced. They didn't want to take off work two times. And next week, the land use case will be at CPC, and many of them said they couldn't take off 2 days in October, two afternoons from work. So we all agreed that these would all be heard together at City Council at the same time. So that's the reason for the delay, to sync up the two cases that have gotten out of sync.
We have a motion and a second. Thank you. To delay for 2 weeks. Mr. Carraway? I'm sorry.
December 12th.
December 12th.
December 12th was on the recommendation of Assistant City Manager Ryan Evans. He said that date, then they'll get synced.
Thank you. Mr. Carraway?
Thank you, Mayor. And Walmart is in agreement with that. Okay, and that's fine. Mayor, I'm going to make just a quick comment. I hate that the gentleman... Oh, here he is. Let me just say... No, I don't need to say nothing, please. Let me say that, and for the sake of the record, that the liquor stores and the permits that this council is finding itself having to have to grant. We had an opportunity, we, meaning those that did not desire to have alcohol in the area, to go out and vote against it. The vote won. I was one of the ones, I think, in Ms. Davis as well, on the opposition of this on the front end. Sometimes you get what you ask for, and those folks that chose not to go out and vote, we are subsequently having to find ourselves drowning in this situation. But it was a process that went before the people, and I don't want every week to begin to have to hear, as related to these permits that are being granted, that no one is saying anything. We all had an opportunity in the southern sector as well to go out and oppose this item that was legitimately placed on the ballot. I fought myself, and Ms. Davis fought against the establishment, against the grain, and against churches and everybody else that chose not to come out and voice their opinion. So with that, you're going to find other permits that are going to be granted. They have the right to be granted because democracy won out. It's my opinion is one, but the people's word and their vote outvoted us who should have been stepping up to the plate. So I want to just put that on the record to say what my position was, and also to say that the people spoke. And when the people speak, we have no choice but to follow the rules and the letter of the law. So now, other things are happening. And as long as folks sit down and do not vote, do not involve themselves, then things like this are going to plague us. I said that in advance. It is evident that what's happening, it is going to continue to happen, and there's nothing nobody can do about it. So with that, Mayor, I just want to put that out there for the record so we won't be hearing this every single week about what we didn't do.
Thank you. What you
didn't do was go and vote. And you didn't vote in enough numbers to stop the process. So therefore, we must live with it and deal with it. Thank you. No comment.
Thank you, Judge Hill.
Was he talking to me, Mayor?
No, he wasn't.
To everybody, not just you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
I agree with what Mr. Griggs said because it's his district and he understands this argument better than the rest of us. He understands the situation better than the rest of us. However, I am confused about the gentleman from the school district's argument. I am truly confused about that argument. Sir, would you mind stepping back to the podium, please? Sir, I truly do not understand your argument. Parents take their children to Walmart, and unless you're suggesting that these children can go into Walmart by themselves and purchase alcoholic beverages, or that they run into the Walmart, snatch the beer off the shelf, and run out the door, I don't understand your argument. Help me with what you're telling me.
Well, neither of those cases are part of our concern. Again, it's the location of being within 300 feet of the property being adjacent to the campus boundaries, that students are not always under the supervision of their parents in the morning prior to school or after school, that an establishment is selling beer or wine to customers who then exit the building that then would give students access, possibly access to those items outside the building. Also, the more greater concern, though, is the traffic issue and the safety of our students that are on foot in the mornings and afternoons and at school activities in the evening.
Sir, are you arguing that the sale of beer and wine in a Walmart store will increase Walmart traffic?
I don't know if that would occur or not. The concern is the presence of beer and wine within 300 feet of the campus would be and would impact possibly the safety of our students. Understood that it's not a public consumption at that location, but you can't always control that, what's occurring on that property once someone purchases those items inside. And then our students, if they are waiting around that area, then as individuals leave with beer and wine in their possession, could possibly provide access to those two items to our middle school students.
Sir, thank you for stepping back to the podium. Allow me to suggest, as a former educator, that you take a close look at what your school is doing to ensure that your students do what they're supposed to do and that they are where they're supposed to be.
We
simply
do.
A
Thank
suggestion.
You.
Thank you, sir.
We do. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. 2 seconds to delay till December 12th. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Is that it?
Those are your zoning items with the exception of the one that's held.
Okay. Let me just say the one thing before we do that. Since we're all here, I think, Ms. Coop, I've already spoken to Ms. Coop. We have our DFW nominations coming back up. We're starting the process right now. I've spoken to Ms. Coop. We're going to use the same process we did last time with the Transportation Committee. She is going to be sending out an email to everybody. I want everybody to know the process, so please look for that email. Long story short, it will be getting nominations to the Transportation Committee. They will be vetting them. I'm asking her to bring it back for a briefing. So we will talk about it in a briefing. Then it will come here up or down slate to us. So I want to make sure everybody knows the process because at times in the past people have said they don't know the process on this. And I think we've got it. Please participate, and we will have a great process here in the next couple of months on that. Thank you. Next, the last item.
Is city staff ready for 42? Would you like me to proceed with the afternoon speakers to give additional time?
We're ready.
42. Thank you. Item number 42 was held till later in the meeting. I'll reread that into the record.
Item number 42 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to plan development subdistrict number 91 for multifamily subdistrict uses within plan development district number 193, the Oak Lawn Special Purpose District on the west corner of Cedar Springs Road and Herschel Avenue.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and I am going to delay this for 2 weeks until October the 24th, and I would like to instruct staff, the applicant, and myself to get back together, and I believe we're really close, and I'm hoping that in 2 weeks we could settle this case.
Thank you. Do we have a second? We did have 2 seconds. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. We will move to the afternoon speakers.
Thank you. Your afternoon speakers are going to begin with William Hopkins, Richard Sheridan, LaCoya London, Tom Gibbons, Gwen Wooten, Trina Trish, Marvin Crenshaw, and Lakeisha Johnson. I will recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who become boisterous while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting, shall be removed from the room if the sergeant at arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record, and direct your comments to Mayor Rawlings.
Mayor Rawlings, before I speak, I was trying to give some information to Greg, but he was busy right now. I was trying to...
Just go ahead and speak, and then we'll do that.
I'd like them to have the information before I speak.
No.
No.
You didn't speak now or pass your turn.
Okay, wait till you get them. So the guy usually give the City Council information before people speak. What? Because I'm black, y'all don't do it no more? Because I'm black? Or what? You can explain. You can take. You use my minutes. Explain to me why I can't use the everybody else do it. Why I can't do it? Because I'm black, or you white, or Greg's busy, or what's your reason? You can use my time and explain it to me.
Let me ask you.
May you what?
Please, in
please
5 seconds, you to start speaking.
Or what?
Please sit down.
For 5 seconds, and I got 2 minutes, and 5 seconds, I got to sit down. You gonna do what?
Please sit down. Thank you. Next speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Your next speaker is Richard Sheridan. Mr. Sheridan will be followed by LaCoya London and Tom Gibbons.
Yeah, thank you for starting the clock before I'm even at the podium.
Please.
Thank you for starting the clock before I'm even at the podium.
Mr. Sheridan, for the record, the rules do state that the speaker, if they are handing information out, the minute it doesn't count.
Well, I certainly disagree with that, but I won't make it a big issue. I'm going to continue now. Presented to the Dallas City Council today, it's a letter to Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Subject to Dallas RSR lead poisoning genocide, Super Fund people need the help of the Kennedys. Dear Mr. Kennedy, Robert, there is a very important case in Dallas that needs your help. To me, it's a classic case of racism, genocide, and environmental pollution. In a racist southern city where the KKK once had its stronghold, 11,000 people have allegedly died and 15,000 people are allegedly dying of lead poisoning, and the local government looks the other way, in my opinion. For 50 years, city and county, Dallas has allowed a lead smelting plant to operate in the center of a 20,000 population, low-income, primarily black community. 10 years before the plant closed, the city made a feigned attempt to force the plant to install pollution control equipment. Instead, the plant raised the stacks. When the plant was finally closed in 84, Dallas implemented a 3-year public health program which focused only on 0 to 6-year-olds and pregnant women. The RSR plant was forced by the state and city lawsuit to clean up the area surrounding the plant. 6 years after the cleanup attempt, an approximate 4-mile radius, 14 square miles surrounding the plant. Excuse me, am I bothering you, sir? Sir, would you be a little bit more quiet over there? There's now reports that Black County Commissioner John Wally Price, who is now under federal grand jury investigation, played a major role in keeping a lid on things, keeping the black community ignorant of its rights, and keeping the payments to the victims to a minimum. Are the voters hearing what's going on here, the voters of Dallas County? It is well known today that Commissioner Price serves the interests of the Dallas Citizens Council, which is the center of the Dallas white establishment.
Barron and Budd, a well-known asbestos lawsuit chaser, made an out-of-court settlement, allegedly in 85, involving 370 children and 40 properties for a settlement amount of about $20 million. I'm a degreed engineer with a master's degree in environmental engineering in 1970, a bachelor's degree in 69, both from Manhattan College, New York, and a PE license in New York State in 74. I was a project manager on the biggest hazardous waste contaminated site in San Francisco Bay Area in 1980. When the story of General Electric's Oakland, California PCB site broke the news, it was like Martians landing. What I found from that General Electric project and many other industrial waste projects and from my Dallas business and political experiences since is that it's usually always the intent of industry business to maximize profits by minimizing the cost of liability and cleaning up industrial pollution by passing on the cost to people's suffering or environmental degradation. Stated another way, today's business creed seems to be maximize profits by maximizing human suffering. Part two will be next week. Thank you very much.
Your next speaker is LaCoya London. Ms. London will be followed by Tom Gibbons, Gwen Wooten, Trina Trish, Marvin Crenshaw, and Leticia Johnson.
Hello, I'm LaCoya London, 1763 Mockingbird. Okay, I understand what they're talking about the Mikhail, about the alcohol being sold. You got people out here selling alcohol to children. They selling cigarettes to children. It's happening. I don't know how y'all can stop it, but it's happening. So that's what he was talking about. He don't want none of the middle school kids to go and get alcohol. I'm an educator too, so I'm just saying that that's something that needs to be stopped. Okay, you have stores that have that sign saying they're going to stop, you know, from selling. They're going to sell anything from kids 18 and under, and they're going to show the ID. They're lying. They're not doing it. Everybody's not doing it. I see it in Oak Cliff. I see it in Duncanville. I see it everywhere. You got teenagers walking in the store buying cigarettes. They buying alcohol now. That was a bad, I did the same thing. I voted no. That was a bad idea to put alcohol out there like this. You know, we got people out here still using drugs, you know, the cocaine and everything, you know, and the crack. So you got to think about it. You know, I voted no too. You know, I'm glad you said something about that. But you have people out here buying stuff for children. They buying alcohol now for them. Now that's ridiculous. You know, I'm trying to see where the police at for that. They shooting people down, but they ain't stopping this genocide. That's genocide when you let our children start drinking beer and smoke cigarettes and smoke weed and smoke all this embalming fluid, baleen and stuff. That's genocide on our kids. That's genocide. That's all I wanted to say about it. But you got people out here, you know, selling this stuff to kids, you know, teenagers. If they 15, they're a child. If they 14, they're a child. They in middle school, that's 11 through 13, them children, they selling their stuff to children. I mean, I've been fighting for children for a long time, you know, and I'm 36. People be like, what are you doing? Are you crazy? Dallas, they killed Kennedy out here. So what? They'll have to kill me then. I get assassinated, so what? I'm fighting for kids, you know, but I don't understand why they put some signs in the store saying they're going to stop the kids from getting alcohol and cigarettes. It's not happening. And you need to have somebody in these stores looking, FBI, whoever. Dallas police ain't doing it. We need somebody to step over them. You know, if they're going to allow genocide in our neighborhoods, come on, we need somebody else in there. I mean, I'm talking about the FBI. They are selling cigarettes and beer to our kids. They supposed to be getting educated. I don't see that happening either. We done made some charter schools and act like they was going to teach these kids something. That ain't even happening in the charter schools either. They saying they graduated with 100% last year. Okay, can they do it with some spare kids in the building? Put 50 in the building, just 50. And if you teach 50 spare kids, I think you did a good job. Otherwise, you know, I know what he was saying, Ms. Hill. You know, you got it.
Your next speaker, Tom Gibbons, not present. We did also have a Charles Goodlum, not present. Gwen Wooten, not present. Trina Trish. Ms. Trish will be followed by Marvin Crenshaw and Lakeisha Johnson.
Good
Good afternoon. I do apologize. I'm going to be reading this. Thank God I don't need glasses and I can see it. Why am I still in need of shelter and supplemental employment in order to become self-sufficient and prosper in my own business? A government conspiracy along with maybe a few rich men, and how about some Pharisees added in the mix? By the way, I'm Minister Trina Church, CEO and founder of Trina Church Teaching Ministries since 2002. It was named Trina Church Communications with Trina Church Teaching Ministries under that auspices. Today's date is October 10, 2012. Yes, I addressed the Dallas Mayor and City Council today on the council agenda items. And I'm back again as an open mic speaker. I give you this date because I want to tell you what transpired in the last 3 days, which is just a small part of what has been transpiring since I came on Dallas. On Monday, I went to the bridge shelter to set up an appointment with a caseworker to see about moving upstairs and to also utilize the workforce. They picked up IDs early. I could have been seeking housing and employment. I went and asked about these things. They refused to give me a bus voucher. They refused to allow me to use Texas Workforce because I would not adhere to taking a LifeNet physical, which has nothing to do with shelter and employment, which is why I'm at a shelter. But that is a partner, a medical partner, and so therefore they want to utilize their services and get monies that they don't need. Anyway, after doing that, I went to the Stupa today to do streaming, which I used to do. I also started the bookshelf. I wrote free book reviews. I also did the current events for that and sold it here. They said, no, well, we can't let you sell it. They have some complaints. I do not carry myself in a manner that is not proper and will glorify God nor myself and my business. So I would hate that individuals would try to slander that because they themselves are not using the government entities to do what our tax money is paying for. I'm in litigation against this very city for not allowing me to speak on agenda items of which I'm now speaking on. And so my question then would be, why are we still going to court? Why haven't we settled? Government corruption and the use of taxpayers' money at the expense so that it can help increase the rich and take advantage of the poor must stop now. Thank you.
Your next speaker, Marvin Crenshaw, not present. Lakeisha Johnson, not present. That concludes your speakers, Mr. Mayor.
No. You.
Mr.
Carraway.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Mayor. Y'all won't get away. Mayor, let me just say a couple things in closing. One, I want to look at you when I tell you this, Mayor, and I'm looking at you. Let me say one thing. Not one time have you ever shown any part of preference as relates to race. I to this council, I disagree. I wholeheartedly take issue with the speaker, and I'm speaking of Mr. Hopkins, and I'm going to call his name every time he comes here and he challenges you, Mayor, as it relates to, was it black, or are you doing it because it's black, and throwing that card out here the way that he does. I want you to know that he's not speaking for me. He's not speaking on behalf of the constituents that I represent, nor do I feel, and other folks may and could have a right to their opinion, does he speak for folks of color in the vein that he addresses you and this council. I want to put that out there because you always have one or two people that are always going to be singled out. Now, to this council, I want to begin to suggest that once again, and Tom Perkins, I need you to come to the microphone real quick, and I'm going to end this, because, you know, when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, this is a city and a council that's moving forward collectively together. We may not always agree, but at the end of the day, we do what is right and what's best for our citizens. And I'm not going to sit here around this horseshoe and continue to allow any person to get beat up unnecessarily. What I want to know from you, Mr. Perkins, is that I know that we have, by charter, the speakers have a right to come and speak. Explain that to us, if you don't mind, and I'll be short, but I want to hear it.
I can get the charter language. The charter provides that citizens have an opportunity to address the city council.
To address the city council.
Yes.
All right. Just walk with me. To address the Dallas City Council.
Yes.
All right. Now, here's where I'm going with this. So we have an obligation and they have a right to come here and to address the Dallas City Council. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Tentatively and without looking at the book?
Yes, Mr. Carroll.
Okay. Now, with that, does that mean that we, the Dallas City Council and council members and mayor, we have a right and an obligation to hear them, but we don't have the obligation to have to put them on television? Now we have a right to hear them, and we're not cutting off their freedom of speech and their right to be heard by the Dallas City Council, but we do not have to be obligated to allow this type of stuff to go out onto the air.
We
have the right to control it and to hear it here, because we were elected by the people to hear folks' difference of opinions and their issue. I would like for you to research it once again, and research it and bring it back to me, and then at some point, Mayor, I want to put this on the table. Because I'm going to tell you something, this problem would go away when we are completed with our public agenda that every citizen is obligated to hear in our public hearing. Then basically we're through. Now, we have a responsibility to sit here and to hear the rest of it, but we don't have to, we have the right, that's our radio and television station, we can cut it off anytime we get ready. And trust me, if you cut it off, you won't see these situations, not like you're seeing them. I just want to say that. Mayor, thank you, and I want to say that and let you know where I'm coming from, and I'm not afraid to step up and put myself out there so folks can understand that I'm personally tired of it, and we've worked extremely hard to get along and to get things done on behalf of these citizens, and I'm not going to sit back and let somebody just come here and take a swing at anybody in here.
Thank you. And for the record, I do want to say I appreciate the City Council sitting through all the speakers, and we kind of promised ourselves that we would do that, and I think we've done good by that. With that,
Mr. Mayor,
can I say something? Yes, Mr. Alonzo.
Thank you for allowing me the opportunity as I went through the process, too.
Good morning.
Mr. Mayor, I just wanted to take this moment to just make sure that we thank DISD, Capital One, and all the volunteers that participated in the principal of the day yesterday. It was very good. I know I did. And whoever participated, I wanted to thank them. They took the time out of their work, their whatever they were doing, to be able to participate with the kids. So I wanted to publicly say thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Alonzo. I appreciate it. Ms. Medrano.
Yes, Ms. Alonzo, thank you for reminding us. We had 170 principals of the day, had a great reception afterwards. And many, many stars and many, many folks that had totally a different impression of Dallas Independent School District after their just their opportunity to serve as principal today. So thank you.
Thank you. Was that? Yes, you can. Meeting's adjourned. Thank you.
The time is 2:32.